Cliffcentral. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com. Future CEOs on Cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. It's so good to be with you. My name is Gareth Armstrong. Next to me, the lovely, ever lovely, Hlubi Mboya Arnold.
You got it. You got it.
Kirsten, I got it.
It's so great to be in studio today and just a nice vibe in the office.
They just does seem to be. There's cameras coming in and out and the celebrities coming in and out.
I know.
And by celebrity, I just mean you.
But once again, you're listening to Future CEOs, and just a quick reminder to all those listening to us, this show is really to advocate and amplify and catalyze entrepreneurship. And since it is Women's Month, we're talking all things great and wonderful and glamorous and not so glamorous about women and women's roles in business.
Remember that if you answer yes to this question, are you a future CEO? Well, then this is the show for you, and you're listening to the right group of people. We've got some superstars here in studio again, as we always do.
As we always do.
But what are we talking about today, Hlubi?
Queen Bee Syndrome. Now, I need to clarify, because I've been having these kind of conversations the whole month. Is it the same as pull her down syndrome? Is it different? Are there similarities? Are there differences? But it basically is women bring each other down or women putting each other up in organizations. That's basically what we're talking about today.
Okay,
in the studio, we have fabulous women from Talent Africa. I think they should introduce themselves as
the tradition is on Future CEOs. Where should we start? Hlubi, you point.
My name is Gusti Kutzer, and yes. I'm a director at Talent Africa, specializing in the executive search division.
Gusti, welcome to Future CEOs. It's good to have you. Just before we go over to your colleague, Annalise, who's sitting there next to you, a lovely smile. Thank you very
beautiful
much.
Beautiful hair color as well. Love it.
Please, would you just give a little bit of a description of your background, who you are, so that our Future CEOs community know that you're the right person to be speaking about this particular topic, please.
Okay. There's most probably quite a few CEOs, CFOs, CEOs that I've placed in my life.
Okay.
So you're the right woman for this conversation.
So I've interviewed the good ones and I've interviewed the bad ones.
Yes.
Annalise van Rensburg. I'm also director and co-founder at Talent Africa. And we specialize also in, I also specialize in executive search. Mm-hmm. So we look at finding talent at the C-suite. Four companies, C-suite being, as Gusti has indicated, chief executive officer, chief financial officer, chief marketing officer, all the chiefs.
So, okay, first up for me, the question is, why do women find it difficult to support one another in an otherwise known to be male-dominated industry of industries, whatever industry you're going into? Where do we start when we're talking about queen bee syndrome? What is a queen bee?
Maybe we should go and look what a real queen bee is in the animal world or the insect world.
Let's start there.
She's obviously the dominating female.
Yes.
That can even control the sex of the eggs.
Yes.
But interesting, she's surrounded by a lot of workers.
Yes.
But she doesn't necessarily control them.
Okay.
Whereas the queen bee also controls them.
Okay. Annalise?
Yes, I think you definitely find them in all companies. And it is not necessarily somebody that plans on putting other women down. I think it is more an ambition to get to the top and to be in control than really to conscientiously put other people down. But in dealing with being at the top, they sometimes isolate themselves, and then they also start not pulling along with them other females because they kind of like in their mind become competitors.
Oh, goodness gracious, there's my mic. So what I'm hearing you saying here is that it's actually a negative thing to have queen bee syndrome. So anyone that's out there, when they first heard queen bee syndrome, yeah, that's me, I've got it. It's actually not a good thing, right?
No.
Hlubi just side eyes me.
Because I know people
obviously
call themselves queen bee, they're like, oh my gosh, they need to listen to this because maybe they are describing and defining themselves in the wrong manner.
Yeah, in an inappropriate way.
You know what I mean? Actually bringing a less reputation to themselves, you know what I mean? And creating bad energy with other women, because basically what we want to do in this show is basically show how you can succeed and thrive in a business by relationships. And we all believe, especially future CEOs, about the power of partnerships, especially in an organization.
Well, the most negative about a queen bee is the fact that she doesn't develop her subordinates.
Okay.
And any successful CEO goes out of their way of developing subordinates.
I think we've heard it said before, where you work yourself out of a job. That's the kind of development that we're talking about. Is that an accurate way to describe it, Gusty? I see a little bit of a smile in your eyes there.
Well, the weaker the CEO, the weaker is a team. Correct. The stronger the CEO, the stronger is a team. So maybe if your team is strong, yes, you can become obsolete. But if you concentrate on the strategic issues and let your subordinates do the operational issues, you'll always have a job.
It's a nice way that you put it there, because I guess part of the question is, well, if your team is so strong, then what's the use of having you there? And that's potentially one of the reasons why people on both sides of the gender spectrum are going to say, well, that's why I behave in this kind of way. That's why I'm a queen bee. That's such a weird thing to say. But that's why I'm a queen bee, because I don't – I mean, I have to be in control. Is there – what's the balance here? Is there a balance?
I think the best leader is the one who controls without indicating that they're controlling.
Okay, interesting.
The direct controller is most probably the micromanager.
So how would you indicate to be a great leader – to control without indicating control? Give us a couple of examples of how to do that.
That's a concept that you first learn when you do therapy. In any therapeutic situation, you should be able to take control, but let the person who is in therapy feel they make their own decisions.
Mm.
If you're a good CEO, you direct and you lead to a good decision, and you let them make the decision, although you're directing them to that decision.
Hold on, I've experienced this. Aren't all women good at doing this anyway?
Make you believe that you're in control.
Yeah, I mean, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, that's just my silly humor coming into it. Annelise, just give us a couple more examples of where we might be able to find this element of control, but not having to necessarily be strangling their team.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting in the work environment how diversity can complement each other. And I think that that's another part where a good leader, to just follow on to where Gusty has been, and she touched on it. But diversity brings a much better overall control or a bit performance for organization.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never to have everybody being the same. So there has to be different mm-hmm. people, specialists and so on, that contributes to a good leader who must be inspirational. So I think coming back to what makes a good leader is definitely inspiration. And you don't need to be a person that controls through rules and through an iron fist to be in control if you lead by inspiration. People would want to follow you.
Because they say that the queen bee has got brash, harsh, and tough behavior, causing stress to the team. You know, so I think the energy that's whatever's happening, there's no sense of growth. I think women feel intimidated in those environments, and they feel that they are a weak link in that team, and that's all negativity in a sense for the worker bees in essence.
I need to jump in here very quickly, because I'm actually very interested in your personal experiences, because as we sit here in this room, there's experience here. Do you, each of you, have an instance that you can perhaps relate where you have felt either bullied or imposed upon in a negative fashion, where actually you were focusing more on their behavior than you were on what they're asking you or needing you to do? Who's going to go first?
I think, of course, there'd be instances where even I have been the perpetrator of not necessarily being the queen bee, but of not sharing the space or knowledge or opportunities or given access to a younger black female, you know, and I think that is in a sense an insecurity of mine. And what I loved, what that woman did in that situation, is that she stood her ground.
Okay.
You know, she asked me to be able to work with her, not against her, which is great, because that's a sense of communication between two women. And I think that also gives a sense of two women not logging heads and creating this battleground, a battlefield of a turf in a working environment. So I think you have to be respectful when you come to facing up to the person that you're dealing with, and also just have a sense of discipline as well.
I like what you're sharing. I'm interested in the, and maybe we must go to our in-studio experts for this,
yeah.
But I'm very interested in how you process the emotion of it. Because often the emotion, and certainly for me...
I'm an emotional girl, so I didn't take it well at all.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not saying that you... Anyway, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the point is that how did you process it so that you could get onto the same page? Is there a way to do that? But ladies, we haven't let you off the hook. We're still waiting for your stories. Gusty, is there a way to process this emotion in that kind of situation?
I think the first step would be to distance yourself from the personal and the business.
Correct.
Okay. And not to take it personal.
Yes, yes.
The moment you start taking it personal, you yourself is losing perspective.
Mm.
So always try and put that distance between you and the queen bee.
But isn't that one of women's strengths, that they can bring in a personal element, or at least an empathetic element, that then makes them better managers or leaders in many situations?
I think it would be very difficult for me to distance myself if somebody is always putting me down.
Okay, there's a difference there, right? Mm. It's the way that, or what is being said. Mm. Have you experienced being put down before? Can you tell us a story? Without mentioning too many names, of course.
Look, I'm a headhunter, and I often sit in final shortlist interviews in a panel. And you can often, even as the executive search consultant, be bullied into helping somebody else make their decision, whereas you know the rest of the panel doesn't want that person. But this specific individual will bully you into making that decision. And unfortunately, in this instance, it can be a male or a female.
Mm. Okay, interesting. Annalise, do you have a story?
I actually don't. I've only worked with very nice female people. And at Talent Africa, we are a fully female-owned organization.
Yes, very yes, nice. Yeah, yes, very nice. Yes.
And we all get on very well together, so we don't have queen bees around us.
Mm.
But obviously, I've observed it before,
yeah.
Where you are with a client and you actually observe where people come into a room to meet with a particular executive, that there is almost this wall between them, that they don't have spontaneity, that that the way in which they talk, it's not what they say, it's how they say it.
Correct.
That really shows you that there is almost a negativity in the room. It kind of like happens. But I have not worked with horrible women, so I'm a very privileged person.
Very privileged person. What was I going to say? So give us other tools of how to handle queen bees. Other ways of how to handle queen bees.
Okay. I think, first of all, you must be aware of when this queen bee syndrome starts.
Okay.
And it normally starts with subtle negative jabs at you.
Mm.
So once that starts...
Low blows.
Yes. Let your antennas go up, the low blows.
Mm.
Because if you then don't start kind of diplomatically standing up to it, because the weaker you show, the more she's going to...
That's the word I wanted to use, diplomatic.
Mm.
Yes,
yeah.
Correct.
To point out this and to ask, you know, what did you really mean?
Mm.
Because the weaker response you are and the more emotional you are, the more the queen bee is going to take you on.
And I think, you know, showing that kind of emotion, she can easily say that you're not coping with the environment, or you're not coping with work, or you just are kind of a victim of stress, of pressures of work. I mean, that kind of easy outlet of, you know, not meeting your targets or, you know, your deadlines.
The worst is to burst out in tears.
Mm.
That is the worst.
Really?
Yeah. So just
suck it up.
You know, suck it up, and in a quiet way, ask clarifying questions.
And that's a key point. I was going to ask, so what's the best response? I get the subtle jab that comes my way. Mm. What is the most appropriate response that then neutralizes the emotion and gets to the core of what they're saying? Is it just to ask, can you clarify that? Do you please explain what you mean? Is that appropriate? Is it better to do that then after the fact, or is it appropriate to do it in front of people? What's the strategy here? Or is there different strokes for different folks or situations? Where are we going? Maybe Annalise?
I think the the first thing that you need to know is never to confront or antagonize the queen bee in a crowd. That is when they will lash out and you will really suffer the wrath of the queen bee. Mm. I think the best is, as we earlier said, to be diplomatic, but go and one-on-one rather address the question and ask for clarity. But because the moment you put the person on the spot, they interpret it as a challenge. And that challenge immediately has the upper hand and the lower hand, and you need to be very careful how you deal with this. So communication is critical, and as I said earlier, it's not what you communicate, it's how you communicate. So rather than to confront in a crowd, is go and meet in person, discuss it with the individual, and ask for clarity. But make sure you actually add value and that you do deliver your job, because I think a lot of the time it is when people are frustrated because subordinates are not delivering what they're expecting. And so if a subordinate knows exactly what is needed of them and they can go away and get that information, do their job properly, a lot of that negativity and antagonism disappears. Because if you do everything right, there's not really a need to be questioning or challenging or anything like that. So I think that make sure from your side things are right and stick to the high road. I always say don't drag yourself down and get involved because somebody else is doing it. Mm. Tit for tat is not a professional way of dealing with it. Mm. So take the high road, go and make sure from your side everything is right. Make sure that you understand what is needed from you and deliver.
Mm. There's also something that I read from Talent Africa about social distancing, where the queen bee aligns herself to a dominant group of men. Can you elaborate on that, Kasti?
Yeah. You know, I will elaborate on that by saying queen bees are normally found in male-dominated industries or environments.
Is it?
They're less found in female-dominated executive team, but not to say they don't occur in a more female team, but they seem to be more prevalent when the fellow colleagues are males than females. Mm. That's the first thing to observe. Mm.
So isn't that also just a coping mechanism for her?
Mm. Well, it's also to show that she's tough.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and it sometimes it's even in the way they speak and the language they use. Mm. I think a very good strategy is to always be authentic, to be yourself, to stick to the truth. And I tried to look at the definition of being authentic. And I was read up and it says truthfulness to the origin.
Okay, very nice. Truthfulness to the origin, the origin of you.
Mm. Yes.
Hmm. Your question, though, your original question, I don't know if we got to the core of it, because I like the question, and that was this alignment with groups of men. Does what kind of alignment do you see happening there? I mean, is she manipulating them? Are they manipulating her? What's happening in that kind of a scenario?
It's an interesting scenario. I think it's more to prove herself.
Correct.
As being able to meet the men equally, but then she over emphasizes it when she's with her female colleagues.
Mm. Okay, I must admit though, and I've been in a number of different organizations, not to say that I've been job hopping, but rather just been in there, and there is nothing attractive. And maybe it's not a wholly appropriate place to go here, but there's nothing attractive about a woman that displays masculine traits. You know, if she's rough and this and that, it's just not an attractive thing at all. And is it correct to say that queen bees do that, that they take on male characteristics and then, as you've now rightly said, then it's exaggerated when they're around their female counterparts, Annelise?
You know, in some cases, not.
Okay.
Some cases, they can be really, they try and be a man in a man's world.
Yeah.
But you also can find that they try to be over feminine in a man's world. And that is when it's used as a manipulative tool, as you were talking earlier. And that comes back to what Gastia said. We are still feminine. And so I still really think that you should be feminine Because that's who you are and how you've been created. So be that, but be assertive. And I think that in assertiveness, there's also an overuse of assertiveness, and then it becomes arrogance. And arrogance, I think, is sometimes one of those traits that we find with queen bees.
Correct.
Interesting.
Women are more likely to secure senior jobs at firms with women chief executives. Talented female subordinates win through once a woman is at the very top, suggesting the queen bee sting won't last forever. Yes or no?
That's my quotation.
Clearly.
So you have to say yes.
So I have to say yes.
Yeah, can you explain that? Yes, please.
No, that is true.
Break it down.
Mm. I think the queen bee syndrome is starting to be challenged by more women being equal to the queen bee.
Right on.
There is now most probably two or three other females in the executive room. Mm. And they're going to sort each other out.
They will. I like that.
You understand? Mm. So, yes, I fully subscribe to the fact that the queen bee syndrome exists. But it is being challenged more today.
Annelise?
I agree with Kastia. I think also the more females get to executive suite, or the C-suite as we call it, the more you'll find that they don't have to prove themselves.
Yes.
I have somebody here that came the same route.
And who has my back.
Exactly. And not only that,
yes,
they will know how far they've come.
Love that.
To get to where they are today. So they will understand the struggles, whatever it is that the individual went through.
That's so
to
true.
Get to where they are. So I think that in unity, there will be strength.
I just want to, maybe we can end off just with a couple of facts. So you've cited some interesting data here in the paper that we were able to receive that was written by you, Gusty. Just talk us through a couple of facts and then maybe some of the evolution that you're seeing as well in these roles. We're now talking about that evolution.
The first thing that I noticed in doing my research is that 95% of females, even most probably today, this research was done about 5-6 years ago, indicated that at some point in time in their lives, they experienced the queen bee syndrome.
Okay, wow. Mm. And 95% is not an exaggeration. It's from researchers.
Yeah.
I think the research you're referring to was done in Germany, is that right? Or is that
Canadian.
American Management Association, maybe,
yeah,
even. Okay, and there was 1,000 working women by the American Management Association said that they had been undermined by another woman at some point in their lives. Okay, very, very interesting. Then how do we get to the point where now we're evolving? You've spoken about women coming into the workplace. When maybe we can end off with this particular point. I'm now a woman, and I walk into an office.
Hardly.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, but I guess I have to get into character for this particular question. I walk into a boardroom. I'm newly appointed. I'm new to this particular team. Mm. How do I build a bridge immediately or as quickly as possible and not have to try and prove myself to the other ladies in the boardroom or even the men? How do I build that bridge? What's that one thing that we can do? And maybe we can end with that.
I think it's communication. Learn to communicate very well. That is the first tool. The second one is, as Gusty said, be authentic. Be who you are. Mm. And then also be diplomatic. Don't challenge. Know your facts. Do your homework. Know who you're meeting in that boardroom. Don't go in there and not know who the people are. Go and find out beforehand what is it that makes them tick. Understand a little bit where they come from. What it is that the role they play within the organization. Are they one of the founder members? Are they finance director? Do your homework, because then you'll know how to handle the situation and address people accordingly.
Mm, very, very nice. Guys, to your final thought.
You know, there was one very frightening queen bee syndrome, and that's those that actually sabotage you.
Mm. Mm, mm.
And for me, in all these examples we've used, is the queen bee that sabotaged you. And that's most probably the most difficult one to handle. Mm. Because at what stage do you expose? But I think there comes a time where you have to take it to the next level.
Absolutely.
Mm. Okay, very interesting. I think we're going to have to take this conversation to the next level by doing a little bit of an add-on in the next few weeks or months to make sure that we round this off properly, because we've run out of time, Libby.
We have to empower each other as women so we can all achieve great success no matter which industry we're in.
Ladies, thank you very much for being here in studio and talking about Queen Bee Syndrome. The directors of Talent Africa, I think it's talent-africa.co.za. That's the website. If you want to go.
Les Femmes Fatales. Les Femmes Fatales.
We will be back right after this.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. Cliff Central.
Revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.